Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our worship. The focus of our service today is priceless treasures for priceless people. We begin our service in the name of the triune God, name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We have come into the presence of God, who created us to love and serve him as his dear children. But we have disobeyed him, and we deserve only his wrath and punishment, and therefore let us confess our sins and plead for his mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you, and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin, and take away my guilt. Dear Christian, our Heavenly Father has forgiven all of your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, he has removed our guilt forever. You, all of us, are his dear children. May God give us the strength to live according to his will. Amen. We pray, Almighty and merciful God, it is only by your gift of grace that we come into your presence and offer true and faithful service. Grant that our worship on earth may always be pleasing to you, and in the life to come, give us the fulfillment of what you have promised, all through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And our lesson for today is from the Old Testament book of Isaiah, Isaiah 56. We'll read verse 1 and then verses 6 through 8. And through the prophet Isaiah, the Lord assures the exiles in Babylon that not only will he gather them back to himself again, but also non-Jews like us. We will be welcomed as we worship at his house. Our reading goes, this is what the Lord says, protect justice and carry out righteousness, because my salvation is coming very soon. My righteousness is ready to be revealed. Then the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord, to minister to him and to love the name of the Lord and to become his servants, every one of them who keeps the Sabbath and does not profane it, those who take hold of my covenant, I will bring them to my holy mountain and I will make them glad in my house of prayer. Their whole burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be acceptable on my altar. For my house will be called a house of prayer for all the peoples of the world. This is the declaration of God the Lord, who gathers Israel's dispersed people. I will gather still more people to my house besides the ones already gathered. This is God's word. Alleluia. The word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Alleluia. Hebrews 4:12. And join together with me and let us confess our Christian faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. And what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer.
The word of our God that we turn our attention to for a few moments then for our sermon message is the gospel lesson appointed for today from Matthew chapter 15. Let me just read one of the verses at this point. Jesus answered her, "Woman, your faith is great. It will be done for you, just as you desire." This is God's word. If you first don't succeed, try again. Did Thomas Edison give up when he was trying to develop the light bulb? History tells us that Thomas Edison wouldn't give up, and it took quite a while. Weeks, months, no, years of failed experiments before, eureka, he found it. An electric light bulb that worked, that didn't blow up or peter out. If at first you don't succeed, try again. We learn that early on, just as we teach it to our children. Not to give up when things don't work out. Not to quit when the bulb takes a funny bounce. Not to pout when we don't get our way. We are taught from little on that it is important to hold on and to hang in there. That when the going gets tough, the tough get going. I mean, how many of you would ever have learned to ride a bike if you would have given up the first time you wiped out? How many of you would ever have made another meal if you would have quit the first time you burnt the kettle? Persistence and perseverance, that is what so many of life's little lessons are all about. And the same holds true for us Christians, especially as it pertains to our life of prayer. Because for all those times, when we get to wondering, what is the use? Our Savior is teaching us, don't give up. That's what we're going to learn today from a Canaanite woman. Even though we don't know her name, we know something about her faith. And because of her faith, she would not take no for an answer. This Canaanite woman of our lesson today shares something with only one other person in the entire Bible. And what is interesting about it is the fact that the other person was also a Gentile. Of all the people that Jesus met on his 3-year ministry, of the thousands of people he encountered, only two were given his highest compliment, and that is, you have a great faith. Let's see what made it so. What did this woman share with a Roman centurion that made her faith great? First of all, she wouldn't take no for an answer. We hear in verses 21 and 22, Jesus left that place and withdrew into the region of Tyre and Sidon. There a Canaanite woman from that territory came and kept crying out, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. A demon is severely tormenting my daughter." Jesus needed to get away. He needed a vacation. He had just finished another go-round with the nitpicking and legalistic Pharisees. He also needed to calm down the adoring fans who wanted to make him their bread king. Remember, this is just exactly right following the feeding of the 5,000. So Jesus left the city of Capernaum, which became his headquarters, and that would have been in the northern province of Galilee. And Jesus went along the Mediterranean coast, not far from present-day Syria, which would be Gentile territory. But his time of vacation, of his R&R, was suddenly broken by a woman of that region who cried out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me." Matthew describes her as a Canaanite. She was a descendant of the people who had lived in the Promised Land prior to the Israelites possessing the land as they traveled from Egypt. Somehow this Canaanite woman had heard about Jesus. What had she heard? Well, she addressed him as Son of David. In other words, this Canaanite woman, through the reports she had heard about Jesus, had become a believer in Jesus. This woman of great faith was experiencing a great heartache. There was a severe crisis in her home. Her daughter, whom she loved, was suffering terribly from demon possession. The devil had physical control of her poor daughter, and life for both mom and the daughter had become a living hell. What a blessing from God. You might be thinking, did he just say, what a blessing from God? Yes, what a blessing from God. Because it led this woman to look for Jesus, to Jesus for help. We learn a valuable lesson that when we are in need, we turn to Jesus. We don't need Jesus to move every mountain in our lives. All we need him to do is move the highest mountain. We don't need Jesus to lift every burden, but just the heaviest burden. And in that way, we see that difficulties are blessings. One of the basic problems which keeps so many people from drawing closer to Jesus is that they ignore their very real need for Jesus. People often call themselves Christians, but they feel little need for Jesus. They don't feel the weight of their sin, and they take God's love and mercy for granted. They live their lives separated from regular contact with God and His Word. And sometimes God forces the contact then by permitting the consequences of sin to be felt. God permits our lives to have hardships so that we become hopeless or helpless and that we know we need God's help. In the time of trouble, then we cry out to the Lord for help, and that is a wonderful blessing from God. When we are burdened with our needs, we go to Jesus, knowing that He will lift that burden. And the reason is we have proof. We have proof that Jesus will meet our needs as we go to the cross. Near where my daughter lives, north of Omaha, high on a hill there stands a building and a campus that has changed the way America cares for its children. In December of 1917, Father Edward Flanagan established Boys Town, and this organization has become a beacon of hope for children, families, and communities throughout the United States. 99 years ago, a boy by the name of Howard Lomas was dropped off at the orphanage. He was more than dropped off. Howard was abandoned. He was abandoned by his mom because he had polio. Because of the polio, Howard wore heavy braces on his legs that made it very difficult for him to walk. And soon the older boys got in the habit of lifting Howard up and carrying him on their back, especially as they went up and down the steps. One day, Father Flanagan asked one of the boys if it wasn't hard for him to carry Howard up and down the steps. The answer he gave is this: "He ain't heavy, Father. He's my brother." There's a statue in front of the Boys Town which depicts this older boy carrying Howard on his back. That's what Jesus says about you. To his Heavenly Father, Jesus says, "He ain't heavy. He's my brother." To his Heavenly Father, Jesus says, "She ain't heavy, Father. She's my sister." And not only does Jesus carry us, but he carries something else. He carries the burden that we never could have carried ourselves, the burden of the cross, the burden of sin and the burden of guilt, the burden of death, the burden of hell. Jesus did that to meet our greatest need, and he will meet every other need. Another thing we learn from this woman is you don't take no for an answer, because faith is persistent. That comes out in verses 23 to 26. Jesus did not answer her a word. His disciples came and pleaded, "Send her away because she keeps crying out after us." Jesus answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt in front of him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered her, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to their little dogs." Jesus acted as if this woman wasn't even there. And when he did finally answer her, it was a very abrupt answer. "I can't help you. You're not my concern." But undaunted, what does this woman do? She persisted. She would not take no for an answer. But again, Jesus answered, "No, it's not right to take the food, you prepare for your children and feed it to the pet." Since you and I know the end of the story, we know what Jesus was trying to do, and he did it. He was trying to strengthen her already strong faith, strengthen it even more. But what about us? What about us when we don't always know the end of the story? Do you ever kind of feel ignored by the Lord? Sometimes we just don't think he is answering us. And that when that happens, what do? We pray harder, a little louder, with a little more earnestness. And that's exactly what Jesus intends for us to do. He wants our faith to grow. One of the petitions we pray is, "Lord, your will be done." It's easy to pray that when things are going great. Not so easy to pray that prayer when it's not going so great. But then we remember why Jesus brings everything into our lives, so that we get into the word more deeply, so that we pray even harder. She said, "Yes, Lord, yet the little dogs also eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Verse 27. She says, "I know, Lord, that you came for the Jews first and then for me, and I'm okay with that. Lord, I know that you're following your plan of salvation and reaching out to the Jews first, and I'm okay with that. I'm okay with the promise, but I'm okay with the crumbs. I'm okay with the leftovers, because even the leftovers will be able to heal my daughter." This woman would not take no for an answer. But it wasn't only because of the love for her Lord, but because of the love for her daughter as well. In love, she was able to do what is such a beautiful Christian virtue, to put herself in the shoes of another, to go to Jesus in time of need to help someone else. Oftentimes, perhaps when you're watching a movie or reading the book, you maybe find yourself wanting to put yourself in the shoes of one of the characters. And because you do it, it makes that character a little more compelling to you. Well, if we look at this story, whose place do you put yourself in? I don't think any one of us want to put ourselves in the place of the disciples. They didn't care. We don't want to put ourselves in the place of Jesus because his character just seems out of character. We don't put ourselves in the place of the daughter because we don't know her at all from the story. You put yourself in the place of the mom, the Canaanite woman. She's the one that resonates with us. She is the one we want to be and who Jesus wants us to be. And it is also a person who we can be and who we are because of faith. And that's the final blessing. People who don't take no for an answer, who try again. Verse 28. Jesus answered, "Woman, your faith is great. It will be done for you just as you desire. And her daughter was healed at that very hour. No one who ever came to Jesus was refused. The daughter who is suffering, she is healed. The blind man, now he can see. The crippled man, and now he can walk. The dying man, and he turns to Jesus on the cross and he says, Lord, remember me. And Jesus says, today you'll be with me in heaven. Dear Christian, don't take no for an answer, because Jesus will always answer, and he will always answer in a way that is best for you. Take your sins and your guilt to Jesus, and he'll take it away. Take your problems to Jesus, and he will solve them. Take your questions to Jesus, and he will answer them. Take your time and talents to Jesus, and he will show you a way to use them. Jesus looked at the Canaanite woman's faith, and he said, it's great. And it was great not because of her, but because it was a gift given to her. She had a great faith. And dear Christian, our prayer today is, Lord, give me such a faith as this. Amen. We pray. Lord God, our Maker and Preserver, we praise and thank you for all that you give us day after day. We are not worthy of all those mercies. You have given us your precious word to nourish our souls, to protect us from the temptations of the devil, the world, and our sinful nature. And we thank you. We thank you for those blessings. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would shield us from every kind of danger, catastrophe and terrors of crime, the pain of disease. Watch over all those who travel by land and sea and air. And keep our loved ones from whatever perils may threaten them. Lord, heal those who are sick and cheer those who are sad. Calm those who are distressed and comfort all who are old and infirm. And Lord, bless our country, our people, and bless those who hold offices of high trust. Keep our government and schools upright and strong, that we may enjoy your gifts of peace, security, and well-being. Grant your blessing to every nation on earth. Where there are wars and unrest, may there be peace. Where there is hatred, let it be healed. Where there is poverty and danger or disaster, come with your almighty power to help and restore. We ask all of this in the name of Jesus, who has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And brothers and sisters, go in peace, live in harmony with one another, and serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you his peace. God bless you. God bless your day. God bless your week.
The King of Love, my Shepherd is, whose goodness fails me never. I nothing lack if I am his, and he is mine forever. Where streams of living water flow, my Savior gently leads me, and where the verdant pastures grow with food celestial feeds me.
Sing your praise within